Namaste, ladies and gentlemen. Today we're going to shine the spotlight on my colleague, Alexia Haralambos. Welcome, Alexia.
Thank you.
She is a true subject matter expert when it comes to spinal devices. She has in-depth industry experience with spinal devices, and she has also been a lead reviewer at the FDA. She has a very strong background in device design and innovation. And I can tell you, and I can vouch for the fact that she is a global regulatory expert. So let's hear it directly from her. Alexia, what are your educational and work experience-based backgrounds that have made you successful thus far and have primed you for further success to follow?
So I studied biomedical engineering at Johns Hopkins. And like many others in my major, I was seeking a medical device product development type of role after graduation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I applied endlessly to these jobs.
That sounds very familiar.
I really didn't have much luck. But thanks to kind of what I consider a happy accident, final presentation for my senior design team, I had caught the interest of one of the presentation judges who was and still is an FDA employee. Mm-hmm. And she helped me land a role at FDA. And, you know, working for FDA wasn't something I'd considered at all, but it truly set me up for a career in regulatory affairs. So FDA worked for the Division of Orthopedic Devices, today known as OHT6. And I was in the spine devices branch as a lead reviewer. I got to get a glimpse of all types of upcoming technology in the field, worked on 510Ks, PMAs, IDEs, pre-submissions, and also got to take part in some side initiatives like helping to develop new guidance documents and supporting some research in the Office of Science and Engineering Laboratories. So overall, got great perspective on the breadth of things that FDA does too. And while I was there, I did a master's in biomedical engineering part-time. You know, still in the back of my mind thinking a little bit about product development. I was also volunteering as an EMT in my local fire department for about 4 years. And that was kind of an unforgettable experience that really exposed me to life and death situations. I got, you know, I saw people on the worst days of their lives and got some pretty good exposure to clinical settings in general. So after a few years at FDA, I then decided to try my hand at industry. So that's where I went to go work for Stryker in the spine division, which is a smaller group in Stryker. And there I got really good exposure to new product development, ISO 13485, quality management systems, EUMDR, global regulatory affairs and strategy, mergers and acquisitions, process improvements, audits, MDSAP and FDA audits. And as a manager there, I was leading a regulatory group of professionals supporting new product development, regulatory strategy, and global regulatory submissions. And we really focused on speed to market in the top global markets. So after 6 years at Stryker, I then decided it was time for consulting and ultimately trying to expand my reach across various product and therapeutic areas. And I like to think of it as repackaging the skills that I had gained at FDA and Stryker into another approach. So I think all in all, each of these educational and work experiences kind of helped me get to where I am today. You know, I wouldn't necessarily call it linear, but I feel like each of my experiences kind of all built upon each other over time, and I'm still doing that today. So, you know, undergrad and graduate studies really honed the logical and systematic approach I tend to take with pretty much everything in my life. FDA was like the building blocks of my regulatory foundation and the beginning of my, I would say, my near decade of spine-focused work. And then Stryker rounded out my understanding of how companies truly operated, their goals, the challenges they face, everything outside of U.S. regulatory. So now here at RQM, I'm utilizing all these skills I've picked up over the years to all types of therapeutic areas and startups, smaller companies, a lot of different types of scenarios than what I saw at a large company. But yeah, so none of it was part of the plan per se, but I am really grateful for how it all played out and honestly wouldn't change any of it.
When you say none of it was part of the plan, I wonder how many of us, you know, stuck to the plan. In my case, I didn't really have one. I took the first job that somebody offered me. But what a fantastic progression. And I mean, the technical aspects were always there. That's just your background, but also fascinating to hear about your experience as an EMT, which obviously primed you to work in high pressure situations. And I'm sure lends a lot of perspective to whatever you do in your daily life as well.
Sure.
So along those lines, you know, can you talk us through, I know the tech skills are there, right?
Mm-hmm.
What other skills came naturally to you by virtue of your training? And also, what were some of the other skills that you gained over time you had to work hard towards attaining, first of all, and something that you're still honing?
Yeah, so something that came naturally, I think this kind of comes hand in hand with the tech skills. And it is, I can really attribute it to my engineering degree, my background in engineering, and it's my attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something, you know, they say it's a personality trait, right? And I think it is probably true for myself, but I think it definitely was developed even further during my academic studies. And, you know, one, having the technical background does help me understand more technical aspects of devices that
sure.
I'm working on.
Sure.
But I think becoming an FDA reviewer helped me further grow my attention to detail in a way that I can analyze details to help forge a creative path to solve problems. In terms of something that I had to work hard to obtain, I would say advocacy skills. I think that's something that it's not really taught. It's not taught in school.
Right.
You know, it's not just communication, right? It's something that, you know, I had to pick up over the course of several different roles at FDA and industry, and it's about becoming an advocate to a variety of different stakeholders, so patients, manufacturers, clinicians, clients. And I think, you know, for me, it was learning about how to actually buy into each of their visions and fully understand their needs and then advocate for them. I think that's something to me, that's kind of a little bit how I distinguish having good advocacy skills versus good communication skills. And I think that's something I really have had to work on over the past several years.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I mean, I constantly hear of people talking about the ability to influence something. When you see advocacy, it's a little bit more than just influencing. I feel like it's multidimensional in its approach. And I've talked to many people. Nobody has actually brought up this point in terms of a specific career skill, although what we do at the heart of it remains technical.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a fascinating, a fantastic, and a very important point for anyone who is starting their career afresh or is looking for tips in terms of, hey, what skills do I need to update, right? What do I need to gain? And in my case, anything and everything that I hear, I try to make notes of, because almost all of these things I need in abundance. But that's wonderful. Thank you for bringing that up. Did you have another point to make, Alexia?
No, not really. I would say,
okay.
You know, like when I've been thinking a little bit about my advocacy skills over the years too,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of, I think it's related to empathy, right? Because, you know, in order to buy into the vision of other stakeholders or understand their needs, you really need to be able to not only listen
mm-hmm.
and hear them out, but also have that empathy. And I think that's kind of maybe the connection there. Putting it all together is kind of what encompasses advocacy skills is kind of how
right.
I think about it. But yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Makes a lot of sense. Alexia, what are some of your achievements? I know there are many when it comes to this, but what are some of the achievements that you'd like to highlight today in terms of those that spur you on to pursue even more challenges?
Yeah, that's so In terms of what I'm proud of, I would say launching a new product from start to finish. So this is something actually from my previous role at Stryker, and it's something that often takes a few years. And you can be at a company and involved with several projects, but seeing a new product from start to finish, like from the concept stage all the way to launching it into a market or even multiple markets, that can be pretty rare. And at FDA, like I was one snippet of the product launch process, right? I was reviewing marketing submissions. And at Stryker, in a way, I was still like one piece of the puzzle being the regulatory function. But I got to witness and be involved with the total product life cycle from concept to launch and even post-market activities. And that was something that, of course, I was a small piece of, but still very proud of. You kind of gain this feeling of ownership over the years of working on a project. I think another thing I'm proud of is building and coaching and empowering a team to support company goals, while establishing an atmosphere that was really conducive to mentorship and continual knowledge sharing and maintaining regulatory intelligence. So all that being said, I think both of those things kind of, spur me on at RQM. I do get a lot of fulfillment out of helping clients forge a creative path to solutions for challenging problems and other issues that they're facing. I would say I'm a pretty good listener. I like to ensure that I'm fully understanding the problem and analyzing problems from all angles before making decisions. But coming from industry, I understand that feeling of ownership over a project or a product. And I do tend to put on my industry hat as well as my former FDA reviewer hat when helping clients to find solutions. So, for example, the group I'm in at RQM does a lot of US-focused work, especially because we're mostly working with startups. And I think coming from a previous global regulatory role, I can't help but to think about other global regulatory considerations in addition to the US focus, just to ensure a strategic and more long-term approach so that certain efforts don't have to be duplicated later down the line, even if the current focus is US only. So, yeah, I feel like I'm, with some of those achievements I talked about, I feel like they really inspire to put myself into clients' shoes. And I do tend to use a coaching approach when it comes to working with clients and building their confidence in the process.
Just listening to your background, hearing about how you approach things, the method behind the approach, your overall outlook. And once again, I have to mention experience. It's very enriching. It's very uplifting. I say this very, very genuinely. And the
Thank
fact that we're doing this, we were recording this in the morning is, sets me up wonderfully for the
you.
rest of the day. So Alexia, you're a biomedical engineer. You started your career at the FDA reviewing spine devices. You topped that off with some very solid industry experience, and that makes you an out-and-out spinal devices expert, right? Thereafter, your work in industry and in consulting together have elevated you to the level of a global regulatory expert. And personally, from what I know, from what I hear, your success is rooted in being a very keen listener. You alluded to that. You're a careful decision maker. You're very incredibly detail-oriented. You're a conscientious problem solver with a very meticulous approach to anything at hand. You strive to build and maintain relationships. You're a very keen communicator. Empathy is uppermost in what you do. And as I say all of that, I have to add all of that in one single package. That's fantastic. And we are lucky to have you working with us. Thank you for sharing your background and experience with us. And I wish you all the very best in everything that you pursue.
Thank you so much for having me, Jay.